40 million people in Mexico do not have access to the internet. Our company, Altan Redes, is building a network that will connect them to the world. Chubb wrote insurance policies that gave the Mexican government, our investors, and partners the confidence they needed to make this happen. They also cover our construction risk, damage to the network, and environmental exposure. For a project this complex, Chubb was the one.
Learn more at chubb.com/WSJ.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, the latest tech headlines you need to know about, but first, the latest from the world of alternate reality, specifically augmented reality by way of Microsoft's futuristic headset that is HoloLens. Microsoft is counting on its HoloLens AR device to catch on with companies first, which is, of course, a flip to the traditional tech script. Let's get the latest. Joining us now with more, patching in via Skype from Seattle, is The Wall Street Journal's Jay Green. Welcome back, Jay.
Great to be here.
So many alternate reality headsets to keep tabs of these days. Microsoft's HoloLens uses holographic tech. If you take us under the hood of this device, what are we working with here?
Sure. I mean, and there are basically two types of reality, two types of headsets you could use. One is augmented reality, the other is virtual reality. I think most people are familiar with virtual reality, and that's where you put a headset on your face and your eyes, and your vision is occluded. You only see the screen that is within the headset. With augmented reality, and this is what Microsoft's HoloLens is, holographs are placed over the reality, over the real world. And so you actually have a view of the real world with holographs placed on top of it.
So the AR/VR game is a big one, an important one. You see all the companies making very specific moves. Microsoft is being very strategic. What's the thinking behind their game plan?
To start, augmented and virtual reality is sort of ushering in this new era of user interface. And, you know, in a few years, right, we're going to be controlling our computers with our voice, with gestures, and even with the gaze of our eyes. And so it's an important battle for all of these companies. And as you say, Apple, Google, Facebook, and others are diving into this market as well. What's interesting about what Microsoft's doing is their approach is different. Their device isn't just an augmented reality device. It's a device that, at least for Microsoft, they're initially targeting business users. And they believe that business users who can afford the cost of their device, which right now is about $3,000 to $5,000, they believe that that will bootstrap the business, that the more times business users buy these devices, the lower the cost will be, and ultimately it will be more affordable for consumers.
Right, and you started to get into some of the competition that's out there, and it's always intense with the tech giants trying to make their mark on either smartphones, these devices, what have you. How critical is positioning in this market for Microsoft? What are the stakes for it in this realm, and how badly does it need a hit?
Every company badly needs a hit. That's part of the way these games are played. I mean, they typically aren't winner-take-all markets, but they tend to be a few-take-all markets. And really, the battle here is a lot about defining what could emerge as this next computing interface. And so I think it is very important. It's still early. And, you know, as I say, there are a lot of companies playing in this space, but being successful in this new computing paradigm will be very important, because that new computing paradigm is going to be important as we go forward.
Now, speaking to that, you mentioned pretty steep price tag, $3,000 to $5,000. None of these devices are cheap. Nothing fun ever is, but this seems quite steep. So having said that, let's talk a little bit more about the cool stuff you would get to do if you're paying upward towards $5,000.
Well, you're getting a device that's incredibly powerful. And again, it's holographic, which is a little bit different than the virtual reality devices. But the reason why Microsoft is marketing these more towards business right now is because they can afford it. And so you'll see, and I use a couple of examples in the story, and there are plenty of them, but you'll see companies doing remote repairs of machinery. And you really can't do that very effectively with a virtual reality device, because you need to be able to see the thing you're fixing, right? So an augmented reality device can be very helpful, and someone from, you know, thousands of miles away can guide you through repairing that particular piece of machinery. I mean, another one, as I mentioned there, is training. So Japan Airlines uses augmented reality device, the Microsoft HoloLens, for training. And they find it's important that it's augmented rather than virtual, so that when pilots are flipping holographic switches and going through their pre-flight check, they actually can see what their hands are doing. And that sort of muscle memory, the pilots say, is very important for them.
Interesting. So most important question, I guess, is how are these professionals taking to these, this new tech?
Well, so for the tech companies I spoke with, they're pretty darn thrilled with it. But, you know, that's sort of to be expected because I'm speaking with these companies that are using the device. But, you know, one of them was another company I spoke with is this company called Tetra Pak, which makes packaging for liquids. And so dairy farms might use Tetra Pak. And if their machines break down, they have, you know, Tetra Pak has professionals that can go in and fix the machines using HoloLens, even though they don't have the specific expertise on every machine. And so Tetra Pak, for example, right now has, I think it's 60 HoloLens devices, but they say by the end of next year, they expect to have several hundred. So they're totally doing this. And for them, the $3,000 to $5,000 price tag isn't a big deal because they save that in the cost of essentially not sending a specialist to each and every site where the machines break down, you know, and after one or two of those kinds of trips, you pay for a hollow. Mm,
super interesting stuff. Jay Green, thanks as always.
Great to be here, Tanya. Thank you.
Here's what's happening in the world of tech. The Justice Department is laying the groundwork for a potential lawsuit challenging AT&T's planned acquisition of Time Warner if the government and companies can't agree on a settlement. The department's antitrust division is preparing for litigation in case it decides to sue to block the deal. The outcome could go either way, and the timing of any decision remains uncertain. Streaming services are helping fuel growth at CBS as political ads decline. Affiliate and subscription revenue overtook advertising sales as the biggest moneymaker for CBS in the most recent quarter, as the broadcast ramps up its streaming offerings. BlackBerry is in advanced talks with a Jaguar Land Rover unit to provide the carmaker with a software portfolio for next-generation autonomous and electric vehicles. A potential deal between the two companies could give JLR access to the Canadian company's QNX software suite, which could be used to securely handle the computing power needed to run driverless vehicles. A formal contract between the two companies hasn't yet been signed, and there's no guarantee there will be a deal. For more on these and other stories, head to wsj.com/tech. This has been the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
Make Tech News Briefing part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.